Take your Bibles, please. I hope that you do have your textbook with you. Acts chapter 14. We'll begin reading in just a moment, verse 19. I want to talk to you about tribulation and triumph. Tribulation and triumph. We have tribulation in this life, but thank God if we're believers, ultimately we have the triumph. We know we have it through Christ. Acts chapter 14, and you follow along as we read, beginning with verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. You just can't get rid of a Baptist preacher as easy as you think you can. He came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Got right back in the harness doing God's work. It was a miracle. God raised him up. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Confirming the souls of the disciples, they went back to make sure they were on the right path. They had helped get elders in the churches and establish those local churches. And so they were involved in doing that. The disciples stood round about him. He went with Barnabas, who was his co-worker, to Derbe, and they preached the gospel. And they taught a lot of people, and they returned again to these places. People had gotten saved, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. He knew that there was going to be some difficulties, and they were already facing them. And look at what he says to them, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He was simply reminding those new converts and those new believers that the Christian life was not necessarily going to be an easy life, and that they were going to face some tribulation. Paul knew about tribulation. He knew what it was to face tribulation. Verse 19, he was stoned. We may think that Paul didn't hurt, but Paul hurt. It hurt when they stoned him and left him for dead and drug him outside of the city. He was a man just like we would be men. And it hurt. And he was persecuted, thrown into prison, all of those things. He knew what it was. And he spoke about tribulation. The word tribulation comes from the Latin word tribulum. And a tribulum was a device that was used to beat the wheat. And they would separate the wheat from the bush of the wheat. And they would take that wheat and take it to market or whatever. And so it was a tribulum, and they would use it, and they would beat with it. And so it caused tribulation to the wheat to separate it. And that's what he is saying. We're going to have tribulation. Now, there is the sorrow that is in the world. The sorrow of the world. And that is shared by all people on the face of planet Earth. Everywhere in this world that you would go, including our United States, you're going to find that there are people who have sorrows. There are tears everywhere. I don't think I've been to a country on the face of the earth, and I've been to a number of them, but what I saw some tears at some place. And as we look about us, we see that little children have tears. I always feel sorry for some of the little children, what they have to go through, and the tears that come to their eyes. A lot of times it's the death of a mother or daddy, or maybe it's watching mom and dad fight and go through a horrible divorce, some of those things. But there are those tears that come down the cheeks of the little children. And when all of us see that, and no doubt we've seen some of that even this past week, teens around the world have tears because of various things that take place in their lives. Even our teenagers here have some tears sometimes. Maybe it's because there's a group that a Christian girl or a boy is running around with, and that group decides to do something that is wrong, and they have to be isolated and pull away from them, and they mistreat them and abuse them verbally and otherwise because they take a stand for Jesus Christ. And sometimes that brings tears to their eyes because they've been ostracized. Sometimes it's because somebody in a group mistreats them and looks down upon them and doesn't let them into their group, and they become somebody that's pushed out of a clique. Or maybe it's some boy that breaks their heart or some girl that disappoints them. But there are tears, and in some cases there's abuse in the homes. I've had to deal with some teenage girls who were going through sexual abuse at the home, and the tears and the weeping and the crying because of what was going on, and that had to be dealt with. Certainly in adulthood we run into some tears. They're tears. All of us, if we've lived very long, know that there are a lot of tears that come with adulthood. I know when you're a teenager, you can't wait to become an adult. You want to get your driver's license, and then you want to get your freedom and all of that. Well, let me tell you, a lot of that freedom is not so free. A lot of responsibility out there, and there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things that will break our hearts as adults. And then we get old. And you're not going to avoid it. You might as well admit it. You're going to get old, and then what comes after that, if Christ doesn't come, is suffering, maybe, and death. Those who go out quickly are the blessed ones, believe me. Those who have to suffer and linger a long time, they're the ones that God has a purpose for allowing it, but I would rather go the other way, and I don't know that they're so blessed in having to do that. But we face all of that. All of mankind, all over the world, faces that. We see it. It's there. I've seen people killed. When I was in India, we were riding along coming from one of the larger cities, and as we were going out on what they call their interstate, which was not really like our interstates, I saw a little guy riding his bicycle coming up to the edge of the road, and he hit some pea gravel and he couldn't stop and went right under the pickup, or right under one of those large trucks that they had that they hauled their cotton on and all of that, killed him immediately. You see, I know that there was somebody. I wondered, who is his family? We had to go on, but who was his family? There were tears all around, and I'm sure they were there that day. Job said that man that is born of woman is born of a few days and full of what? Trouble. You say, preacher, you're trying to depress us? No, I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says, that we are going to have trouble in life. And Job was right. And if anybody knew about it, Job should have known about it. Now, this sorrow is a sorrow that is shared by the unsaved people. The unsaved people have a lot of sorrow, but they don't have Christ. They don't have anybody to cast their cares upon. They put their whole focus on this life. Everything is about this life. And they have no real hope. They don't even know about eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be a Hollywood beauty queen. And they face all of the trials and troubles because they're without the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of some that, when they were young, were beautiful, and they put them in Hollywood, and they became popular. They became well known by everybody. And in some cases, beauty queens like Marilyn Monroe. And yet, evidently, she was not a Christian. She certainly wouldn't have lived that kind of life, I don't think, if she had been a Christian. And she came to the place in her life, back in August the 5th, 1962, 36 years of age, through taking barbiturates, an acute barbiturate poisoning. They ruled that she committed suicide, took her own life. What a sad thing. Unhappiness, all the fame, all the money, all the fortune, all the attention, all of those things in her life, but she did not know how to handle the tribulation and the problems she was going through. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is easy or hard? It's hard. And so when you live that lifestyle, you don't have the peace of going to the Lord. Then there's the sorrow that is shared by those that are saved. We share sorrow too. Unsaved people share it. They have their problems, they have their challenges, they have their difficulties, but sorrow is shared by the saved. Listen to what Paul said when he's writing to the believers in Thessalonica in chapter 3, verse 2. And he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. For verily, he says in verse 4, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Paul said, I warned you that tribulation was going to come. And anybody that tells somebody if you get saved, you'll have no more problems, let me promise you, they're telling you a lie. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. And we would have a tendency to think otherwise. Well, I'm God's child, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm a Christian, so I shouldn't have any problems. But that's not true. We are not immune to problems. And that's what Paul was saying in our text when he said that we must, through much tribulation, verse 22, enter into the kingdom of God. Between now and heaven, we're going to have a lot of problems. There's going to be some tribulation and difficulties. Now, what's the difference in the unsaved, the saved, and all? The difference is how we meet it, what we do with it, how we deal with it. Now, when it comes to the lost sinner, they are really in despair. As they go through all of these problems in their life, who do they have to turn to? They may put on that facade and that outward veneer and act as if everything's all right, but I promise you, down inside of their heart, what it really counts, down in their soul, they're aching, they're hurting, and they don't have the explanations, and they don't have anybody to go to, maybe a few friends, that really may or may not be able to give them the answer to the whole problem that they're facing. They have a lot of despair, and nothing really remains like it should be in their lives because of that. Disraeli, the man who fashioned the British Empire under Queen Victoria, said this. This just shows you some of the thinking and philosophy of people like that. He said, youth is a mistake. Youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle. And old age, a regret. Now that'll make you feel good all over, won't it? You have that philosophy about life. Youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle. Old age is a regret. And there is some truth to that. But he was just looking at it as if there was no hope, no out, none of those things. Modern philosophy, as we know it today, gives us something called existentialism. And that's sort of a fancy word that simply means that as existentialists, we really only know that we exist. We just know we exist. We don't know who we are. We don't know why we're here. We don't know where we're going. We don't know our purpose in life. All we know that, like an animal, we exist. The evolutionists love existentialism. And they follow that evolutionary thing, saying that we came from animals all the way from the Neanderthal man all the way to what we look like today. And we have just evolved. I don't know what we're going to look like in another 10,000 years. But they say that. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that we just exist. We have no purpose in life. I'm no kin to the monkey. No. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know about your ancestors, but mine didn't hang from a tree. Well, a few of them did, but you know what I'm saying in doing that. Once it was a tadpole long and thin, then it was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey hanging in a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. Amen. Isn't that great? That excites your soul. I don't know who I am. I don't know why I'm here. I'm just up here talking to you today because, well, I want to make a salary, so I'm just going to be up here and talk to you and tell you some things. I have no idea. No. Thank God we do have an idea. We do know who we are. And we're not existentialists. Tolstoy, who was the Russian novelist and a philosopher, said there are four attitudes that men take about problems. Four different attitudes that mankind takes about problems. Number one, those who view life as all bad and get drunk to forget it. And then secondly, those who view life as all bad and struggle against it all the time. Thirdly, those who view life as all bad and by suicide remove themselves from it. And I've seen some of that done. And then his philosophy, the one that he adopted, was this: those who view life as all bad and live on irrationally, accepting it as it comes, just sort of existing and saying, well, this is what's happening and that's what it is, and we don't know where we're going, what's going to happen in the end. Thank God we have a fifth choice, not just four. There is a fifth choice, and the fifth choice he does not mention, but that is divine reasoning and a divine purpose, and that purpose is called God. The self-existent I am that I am. And we as believers in our trials and in our tribulation, we glorify God. That's the purpose of all of that. Peter was told by God that he was going to have to die by Jesus, that he would die as a martyr. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a martyr. Most of us would say, well, I'm just not going to do that. John 21:19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter was going to have some tribulation, but by his death, even his death, and church history tells us, if it's correct, that Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified right side up like my Savior. But Jesus was right when he told him he was going to die, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Evidently, Peter really believed in him, or he wouldn't have followed him after that. But he told him, you're going to have problems, and ultimately, Peter, you're going to die. But the reason is that you're going to glorify me. And that is some of the reason that we have our tribulations and problems, because God is preparing us to look more forward to what heaven is really going to be. And that's something that we need to look forward to. Paul said in Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience, H-O-P-E, hope. We go through tribulation. No matter what we go through, we can throw up our hands finally and just say, hey, this may be this way the rest of my life. I don't know. God will give me the patience to do it, but I do know one thing. When I get out of this body, when I get out of this life, I'm going to glory. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord forever and forever. And so we have that hope. Now, the unsaved cannot say that. If you're here today, you can't say that. You cannot say, I have that hope. All you can say is, I have all of my problems and no hope. I don't have any hope. The only hope you would have was not a real hope, and that would be to die and go to hell and miss heaven and be there in hell forever and forever. That's no hope at all. But our hope lifts our minds toward heaven. Our hope in tribulation makes us think of how wonderful heaven is going to be and what it's going to be like when we get there. Tribulation and trials will do that for us. It lifts our minds toward heaven. This is not it. This is not the final thing. These are not the final problems. This is not the final chapter. We're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. A wealthy man was being talked to by his pastor, or a pastor, and this wealthy man said, he was crying and weeping, and he said, I've lost everything. What's wrong? I've lost everything. It was back during the time of the Depression. I had a lady in my church whose husband owned a restaurant in Chicago, Illinois, and she knew Al Capone. I led her to the Lord. She was 88 years of age when I led her to the Lord. And she was telling me about her husband back during that time. She went to their home with a friend in Florida. They had a beachfront house there. He stayed back in Chicago. He had lost everything in the stock market. He gassed himself to death. They called. She had to go back home to do that because he left a note and said, there's no reason to live. But going back to this story, this was this pastor talking to him. And he said, I've lost everything. He said, well, have you lost your reputation? He said, well, no, I hadn't lost my reputation. I still have friends that know that I'm an honest man. Oh, he said, well, did you lose your wife? He said, well, no, I hadn't lost my wife. My wife is so precious. She's like an angel. She's standing with me. She's right by my side. Even though I've lost everything, she's right there with me. And the pastor said, well, did you lose your children? Have they turned on you? Did they leave you because you lost all your money? He said, oh, no, my children have come up beside me and said, Dad, it doesn't matter. We love you anyway. We love you and we're going to be with you. You're our dad and we love you because you're our dad. The pastor said, well, have you lost Jesus? He said, no, I don't think I've lost Jesus. Have you lost your faith? No, I haven't lost my faith. Have you lost your appreciation for the fact that you're not damned to hell, you're not going to hell, and that you're going to heaven? He said, no, I haven't lost any of that. And finally he came to his senses and looked ashamedly and said, I've just lost a little money is all. You see, to the believer, we don't ever lose it all. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have heaven to look forward to. The lost person has troubles. You know what it can do for a lost person? If you'll let it do that for you, your problems, your troubles can bring you face to face with your need for Jesus Christ. That's why sometimes God allows so many problems and troubles to come into the life of some of those who are not saved. And when He does, He'll bring you to the true riches. You see, the true riches are things that moth and rust are not going to corrupt. Lay up treasures where? In heaven. The true riches would be the riches of the gold in heaven and the streets of gold and the gold and the silver that will never perish because we'll go to heaven, we'll be with the Lord. And if He allows a lot of problems to come into your life, whatever they may be, and it brings you to Jesus and you understand that and you come to the true riches, then your problems have been worth everything. And then as I said to the saved people, it ought to make us look less at this earth down here and all of the things we're trying to accumulate and do and a whole lot more about laying up treasures in heaven even as believers. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. How are we going to get peace? In Him. For in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, believer. No matter if you're going through tribulation, I have overcome the world. Jesus gives us that promise, and we're overcomers through Him. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And we have that to look forward to. You see, you and I cannot lose. We will not lose. There's no way we can lose if we're saved, born again, on our way to heaven. The kingdom is going to be ours. Jesus promised it, and He keeps His word. And He cannot fail, and He will not lie. He cannot lie. And I believe in God today, I promise you. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Redeemer and my Savior. I found in Him refuge, peace. I found in Him comfort and goodness. I found it all in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all found in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, every sorrow I have, I can go and present them to Him and seek His face in my times of sorrow. I have had times of sorrow. I will have some times of sorrow. And you don't pastor a church without having some times of sorrow. But I know who my Redeemer is. And I take my sorrow and seek His face. Every tear that has come down my cheek or every will, I find my strength in prayer. I can get before God and pray and call on Him and say, God, dry up my tears. And there are some tears, and we all have them. But as believers, that's the way to do it. And I determined one day as a little boy, 9 years of age, and later to surrender my life in full-time service, to give myself to that better purpose of serving God, no matter what comes my way, serving the Lord. And He has promised all of that to those who place their trust in Him. And so that is our invitation to you today, too. Invite you to come, if you're not on this pilgrimage with us, because we've got it made. Even with all of our problems, we've got it made. We're going to heaven. The kingdom will be ours. Christ is going to see to it. And so we would invite you to come and ask Him today, "Dear God, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then, dear God, I want to look to You in all of my troubles. I want to be able to go to You with all of my heartaches and troubles. And then, dear God, one of these days, if You don't come back, I'm going to be lying in a bed dying. And I want You to be there to hold my hand. I want You to be there to bring peace in my heart when I am on my deathbed. And then when I pass, I want You to welcome me into glory." You can have all of that. In all of your tribulation, we have every reason in the world to cheer up, my brother. For Christ has promised us a great future. You have problems today, give them to Him. If you're here and you're unsaved, come and trust Him as your Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And then after we make our prayer, then we'll give you that invitation to come. Father, thank You for the fact that we know that there are problems going to be in this life, but You're there with us if we're saved. And I pray for those who might be unsaved here. Maybe they're going through some problems. Maybe they've had some. Maybe they would recognize today that they need Christ. That we're all going to have problems, but if they have Christ, they have their sins forgiven, they have the promise of heaven, all these things I've named. And help them today to come and receive Christ so that He can go through them. Not take them out of their problems, but go through their problems with them, all of us. Lord, help us as Christians to not complain, to not get depressed, to not get down, to not get defeated, but to bring our problems to You, to claim Your promises, to seek Your face, to turn our tears into prayers. And we'll give You the praise for the glory and for the results and for the victory and for the triumph. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.